today we're celebrating Music Freedom Day, the 3rd of March. My name is Mia Leine, and I'm very excited to have artist Rami Essam here. Welcome, Rami.
Thanks, Mia.
So you've got given many interviews about this, but let's just introduce you to the people who don't know you. You became the voice of the Tahrir Square during the 2011 protests in Cairo that would lead to the overthrow of Mubarak. How did that happen? Were you always political in your songs? And yeah, can you just let us know how you became the voice?
Okay, I will try to put it briefly. Like, yes, I had political songs before the revolution started, and that's what gave me the chance when I had my guitar in Tahrir Square in Cairo with the people to have something to say musically and to have the chance to describe the people's feelings through songs. So I had songs before the revolution that was made that fits exactly what's going on. But I had also made songs from the event itself. So both old and new songs. But before the revolution, I was never like politically active myself. I was not part of a party or like marches or demonstrations or sit-ins. And I was doing these songs from an individual point of view, that like, I don't like the situation, I don't like the government, and this kind of political education was all influenced by my older brother Shadi, that he was teaching me so much. He was the one that was the active guy politically in the family. So I was singing the songs before the revolution from a different point of view, as an individual that is just like annoyed and won't change. But when the revolution happened, even my feelings singing the songs, the same exact songs, the same words, became so much different and bigger when I could share it with the people for the cause of freedom and human rights. So that's how I got the chance to be able to communicate with the people musically. And when you are in a revolution and you're an artist, just the inspirations and creativity just comes from everywhere. So I've been like writing songs during the revolution all the time from 2011 till now.
Okay, that's and I think your song Irhal became like the anthem of that time. It must be very exciting to be in the middle of that, but also as such a part of a communal experience.
Yeah. I'm a lucky human being, lucky artist to be experiencing like these feelings that I had in Tahrir Square, especially when it comes to the song Irhal. And I will never forget the first time I was standing on the stage in Tahrir Square when I performed Irhal for the first time. It was almost about like 100,000 people. And this was the 1st of February 2011. And the feeling I got on the stage is the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. And which is like when you're performing a song as an artist in a normal gig, you are like giving energy and receiving energy back from the audience. And this beautiful like relationship with the audience is there all the time. So try to imagine that. I had this experience, but it wasn't a concert, it wasn't a gig. It was like 100,000 of human beings like gathering together in one place, being as one human being, having one sound, one voice, trying to sing for their freedom. It was the most powerful thing I experienced. And since that day, especially in the 2011, 12 and also 13, I had many days like that there was even hundreds of thousands of people in the same time singing as one person. And this is definitely the best experience I have ever had. And an Irhal song had its own magic in a way that the idea of the song was just coming from the people. So I got the chance that the people were chanting. And I had an idea that, just from an artist's point of view, if these slogans and chants can turn into melody and beat, like simple beats on the guitar, simple rhythm, and just it will have much, much bigger impact. And that's what happened. And we used it against Mubarak in the beginning, the dictator that we went out to take him down in Southern 11. And after that, even like the military system and then the Muslim Brotherhood system and then the military system again, I've been using the same song with the same melody, but changing the words for what kind of chants and slogans people are using at the moment. So it's a song that will never die.
Wow. Yeah, that must be like very overwhelming to be part of that, but then obviously you also bore the consequences of being arrested, being tortured,
yes,
and having to leave your country.
Yes.
This was now 9 years ago.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
And you're still talking about this, so it's obviously still topical. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened when you released your last song in 2018, Balaha?
Okay. Egypt is suffering from lack of freedom of expression. Everybody is oppressed by the regime in all levels, artistically or in normal life. So the government been trying to close all the chances for artists to express themselves freely, and especially for the artists that still living in Egypt. And I lived in Egypt more than 5 years now. I lived in August 2014. So when there was like a moment in 2018 that it was before the elections, the second time for Sisi's government to try to be elected again, and just being elected again, that sounds funny because it was never a real election. It's just like an acting act. But I wanted me and Galal Beheri, my friend that wrote the lyrics, that is in jail at the moment because of that song and because of his poetry, we wanted to make public debate. Like, we wanted the people to talk about, like, know about all the bad things that this government did in the previous 4 years, and that shouldn't go further than that. And it was somehow like a silence in the political oppositional zone, and people were afraid again. And it was so sad because we made the revolution, we broke all the fear, and everybody was out talking. And then it was so sad to witness that the government and the military system is like taking over again everything. And we wanted just to make a song, just a song that is the peaceful way that we can fight back their violence, we can fight back their corruption and their injustice. And we did what we've been doing before. And the song was out in February 2018, and we were so proud about the song, and we loved the song so much in the beginning.
Can you quickly tell the listeners what it was about, or with the lyrics?
Like the lyrics was pretty much of the song Balaha was just criticizing the previous 4 years of that regime and all. All the negative things that been happening, and like come on, this shouldn't go further than that. And we were making fun of it in a sarcastic way, and that annoyed the regime so much, and annoyed many others as well. And this was meant to be, because we wanted to, sometimes when you wanna use the art to annoy the people, to make them talk about certain topic, and this was the goal of that song, and we succeeded in that. That's why we were happy about the song, we were proud of the song. But then after 48 hours there was like a crazy fireback attack from the governmental media on Galal, on me, on the song. And then after that, Galal had to be careful, because we thought that they will arrest him for sure. And after a couple of days, they got Galal arrested, and sadly, they arrested many others, not just Galal that wrote the song. And I'm not allowed to. I don't have permission to talk about everybody that was arrested in that case.
But I think it was 6 people in total.
Even more. And I just can't talk about Galal, that is my friend that we met from the beginning of Revolution 2011, and we made other songs together, not just this one. And he's in jail serving 3 years sentence by a military court because of his poetry book that has the poem Balaha there too. And there's two others that I have the permission to talk about them. And it will be Mustafa Gamal, that he is a social media expert. Like, and my relation with him was just that, like, 4 years before the song, he helped me to verify my Facebook page, and he ended up in jail. And also Shadi Habash, that he was the editor and the director of the music video, and he didn't have anything to do with the content. He was just working as a professional artist that got work to do, and that's all. And he also got arrested, and I'm sadly mentioning now that these three human beings are still in jail because of a song.
2 years later.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, that must be really difficult to be here away from that. How do you feel like, I mean, you were so like in the midst of the protests and the revolution, and now you're in Finland,
yeah,
which is very far away.
It is.
You can't return. You would probably be arrested if you would return.
For sure.
How can you, from the diaspora, kind of help or further the fight or the revolution that started 9 years ago? What have you seen as someone who's now temporarily in safe here, that you can still work towards the same goal?
Okay.
From abroad.
Okay. Yeah, like being far, far north from Egypt, it's a crazy big experience for 5 years plus now, and it has positive and negative things. And I'm away from home, I'm away from my mom, my family, my friends, the streets, the smell, the culture, everything that was inspiring you all the time, like 24 hours, and now it became so much harder. I'm talking now from the artist's point of view, mm, about being away from home. That like now, working on a song for the cause, working on a song for my people back in Egypt, there in Egypt, it became much harder process than before, because I need to really like help myself to come back into the zone, and I became now like well trained about how to do that, either by listening to specific songs or watching specific videos or talking to specific people in my life close to me that I can hear from them what's going on, and all these things together can help me to be back in a zone that that I need to work on a certain song. So yes, I'm still able to do that, but it's harder than before. Yes, I'm still able to release songs that can make big impact in Egypt there or in the whole region, and I'm so happy that I'm still able to do that. And thanks for the social media era that is helping me to have that impact. But also it's so hard that I can't feel this feedback anymore, because I'm doing something and then it's out there and then people embrace it and live with it. But then I'm the only one that can't see it or feel that impact or feedback anymore. So it's a bit hard, but at the same time, like you said, I'm living in Finland in the Nordic area, and I'm very safe here, and they have I have the opportunity to have access for the best musicians, best equipments, best studios, like to learn anything I want, and I got the chance to develop myself as an artist. I'm totally another artists, the different artists, in a much, much better way technically than 5 years ago when I left Egypt. So it's also a responsibility on me that I have to take advantage from the chance that I got here to be able to help my people, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Let's actually talk about your music, because you describe yourself as a rock musician.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of rock musicians in Egypt?
Not much, because like rock music was never like huge in Egypt, and the whole region there are like just few people that do that.
So how did it find you, or how did you find rock music? And you sing, so you sing and play guitar.
Yeah.
Tell me about
how
that.
It started.
Yeah.
Okay. The love story with rock music started through my brother playing Linkin Park, and it was the first album, and I will never forget the feelings that I had when first time I heard Chester screaming, and I was like, wow, what is that? Because I never heard a singer like screaming before. And that's sad that the Egyptians didn't get the chance to really listen to rock, and yeah. But for me, this was my experience. And then when I had that, I ran with my iPod that time to my cousin Ahmed, that he was the crazy one that has like crazy amount of like albums and songs for like different artists from all over the world, and he was like the library in the family. And then I went to him and I told him like, I need you to put on my iPod like all kind of songs that sounds like this. And then he gave me like tons of songs and different albums, different artists, and I went through them all for a while, and I ended up falling in love with Nirvana and Kurt Cobain. And I had like maybe a year not listening to anything else but just him, and trying to sing like him, and then I went back into like Rage Against the Machine, System of a Down, and Linkin Park were there all the time, even Limp Bizkit and Metallica and Marilyn Manson, and like so
mostly US artists.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. And I was just like enjoying so much this anger that this music had, because I had a crazy teenage life in the streets that was full of fightings and just bad things, that all the anger was going to bad direction. And when I found music and played guitar, and especially mixing it with rock music, and I found that, oh, I can make rock music myself, all my anger started to go to the right direction, and this was the start. And even in the beginning, I was just composing some kind of love songs, and I was on the track of trying to be a songwriter to give songs to pop artists. That was the start. But then when I found the rock bands, and I started to listen to them, and this kind of anger feeling I started to control, and then I met Amjad Al-Ahwagi, that he is my first and biggest favorite poet that introduced to me the political poems for the first time. So I, the mix of like the rock music that I was listening to, that I can mix it with the political lyrics that I started to read and hear, and then this was just like the biggest turning point in my life as an artist, and actually as a human being too, when I started to control my anger and just finally feel that, yeah, this is that track that I want to continue my life with. And I was 20 years old at that time, and this was 3 years before the revolution. So that's how rock came to my life and changed my life. Until now, I love it. I'm into it. It's in my blood. And I, in the first years, I was just struggling a little bit of how to tune the Egyptian Arabic language in rock music, because the bands I was listening to, like they sing in English, and languages are different when you try to use them to certain genres. And we had many people that tried to sing kind of Egyptian rock or Arabic rock in an English way, and it never sounded good. And just few people that managed to really find the right tune to their own language for that. And I think I found my way. Sorry.
Who else? You and
there is another band actually that called Jadal. Mm-hmm. From Jordan, I think, and they are really, really good rock band. That one of the few people that I think they managed to do that that like good tuning.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for this interesting insight. Thanks. Into your music. I maybe have just a few more questions. You've been through this crazy journey. Did you ever feel there is a conflict between being an activist and a musician?
Sorry, what do you mean with that?
So, I guess being an artist who openly says political things. And I'm not going to say, because I also think it's problematic to say some music is political and some isn't, because even by not being political, that's a political choice.
Yes.
So, but yours is very kind of directly...
I'm very connected with
very connected to the Egyptian regime. Have you ever felt that, for example, you can't express yourself musically because either now you've been put in that box of you're now the kind of
the revolutionary singer, the political singer. Yes. Okay. Being labeled as a political artist is a trap, and definitely I was like deeply trapped there for a long time. Especially that before the revolution, I was not known. I was just like starting my career and trying to build something. And then when everybody got to know me, they got to know me through that. And in the same time, I was giving it all to the cause and to the revolution. So I was not singing about anything else as well. So it's also from me. I was 100% all my songs going to that direction. But before the revolution, and even during the revolution, I never stopped writing songs about everything else as well, because I'm an artist, I'm a human being, I feel everything. I don't only feel political stuff and nothing else. So when I started to sing about other topics, which I didn't do much, or I didn't do enough yet, but it was always like a challenge, a struggle, because like people sees you in one thing, people want to see you always like they want, and sometimes like artists can surrender to that to the audience well, and this is very wrong. And I'm happy that finally and recently I started to work more in the studio about more and more from the songs about life, about society, about personal experiences, about everything, and also about politics and also about revolution, because I will never stop doing political songs. It's the biggest faith in my heart when it comes to my artistic career. And I know that we are lacking this kind of songs in the whole world, so we need more people to do more political songs. So I will never stop that. But at the same time, I can't wait for everybody to experience this other side of me as an artist. So next albums definitely will be full of everything.
Great.
Yeah.
I think that's it from me. Did you have anything else?
I'm just in the Music Freedom Day, I would like to share with all artists that have any chance to talk and to say something that has meaning and has message and that can help the people or help the world to be better at any scale. Don't hesitate to do that. And don't take the freedom of expression that you have for granted as well. And use it, because it's a responsibility. It is a big responsibility, and we need that.
definitely. A message from Rami Esam to everyone out there. I think this applies to everyone, not just musicians, other artists, and anyone who has a platform. And that's basically everyone. So thank you so much, Rami Esam, for joining me today. And yeah, see you soon.
Thanks, Mia.
Thank you.
Thank you.